Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to this thematic discussion of Buy, Hold, Sell. I'm your host, Ali Selby, and today we'll be taking a deep dive into the world of small cap champions. There have been a few notable success stories over the past decade. Afterpay, Fortescue Metals Group, and Domino's comes to mind. But how do you uncover the next market darlings? Well, to figure that out, I'm joined by Nathan Hughes from Perpetual and Mike Murray from Australian Ethical. First up, what are two must-have characteristics when identifying the next small cap champion? Nathan, I might start on you.
Sure. Look, I think the first thing we look for, Ali, is a long growth runway. And it's not about having an enormous TAM or a lot of excitement around it. It's about being in an industry that's growing and looking for a sustainable runway for continued growth. So whether it's through new products, rollout of existing store footprint, new verticals, or even sensible bolt-on M&A. The other thing we look for is really attractive returns on capital. Companies that can deploy capital well and generate really high rates of return can really accelerate their growth, can become quite exciting investments.
Mike, over to you. What are two must-have characteristics when identifying small cap winners? And how do you identify the darlings from the duds?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ali. I mean, one of the first things we look for is companies with a degree of intellectual property. And we definitely do care about companies that, I guess, have a big runway of growth too. And so we're very focused on total addressable market. Often what that means is we're looking for a company that has an established position in some Australian technology, which they can take globally. So areas like healthcare and technology are often places where companies can scale globally. And so that's, I guess, a happy hunting ground for us. Darlings from the duds, that's always a tricky question. There are a lot of duds that are masquerading as darlings and vice versa. For us, a lot of it comes back to relationships. So it could be a 5 or even a 10-year process in some rare cases where we've followed companies before we've made an investment and all the stars have aligned. And the other thing I'd point to is looking for companies with a high degree of recurring earnings. So we definitely steer away from financial engineering.
Okay, Mike, staying on you, what is one red flag that you think investors should look out for when investing in this arena?
Yeah, sure. Look, I really think small cap investing, a lot of it is about finding companies that are going to scale well. And there's certainly no shortage of companies coming to the market with roll-up strategies in different industries. And it's just the nature of the beast that some of those industries scale better than others. We tend to find that product style businesses with that, you know, degree of intellectual property are quite scalable, particularly if they've got a global market. To give you a counter example, you know, if we're looking at a company that's more personal services oriented, you might find that 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. And, you know, an example that springs to mind is aged care. It's a domestic industry. It's probably a pretty resilient industry, but, you know, it's very labour intensive, and I'm not sure that you really get a lot of synergy by putting businesses together in that industry.
Okay, Nathan, same question to you. What's the one red flag you look out for when investing in small caps?
Well, we're always wary of investing or looking at companies that are really reliant on capital markets to fund their growth. So, I mean, I think there's a couple of issues there. One, potentially points to the fact that the business model actually doesn't work. we like companies that generate cash flow and can grow using their own internal cash flows, but also they're beholden to risk sentiment and equity markets. And in the event that sentiment changes, you can find that funding runs out pretty quickly for these sorts of companies.
Okay, Nathan, another question for you. How do you filter for companies that deliver value to all their stakeholders?
Look, I think this really comes down to understanding the business that you're looking at and really understanding how do they make money? What is the nature of the product that they're offering to customers? And does it add value? Is it a product that genuinely delights and excites the customers, or is it something that's reliant on apathy or customer inertia? I think this really comes with, I don't think it's as easy as a screen. I think it comes with understanding businesses and the supply chains and their labor and how everything works in a bit of an ecosystem. You can't look at companies in isolation. You've got to understand how the whole value chain comes together. It really comes about from a deep understanding of companies rather than a simple screen. There are some industries which are pretty easy to exclude, like say predatory lending or unregulated lending, where we think that is cause for some concern, but it's really about a deep understanding of the company you're looking at.
Mike, I know that Australian Ethical has quite a complex filtering system. So how do you guys filter for companies that provide value for all their stakeholders?
Yeah, look, and I think, you know, being an ethical fund manager, and that's all that we do, right? So we're not interested in companies that don't meet our ethical filters. We're happy to say that we screen, and we screen quite extensively. So basically the test for us, if a company doesn't have a starting positive impact on across all its stakeholder groups, including customers, you know, it generally will be screened out. Clearly, you know, balance of positives and negatives comes into play, and the absence of negatives too.
Mike, I asked you to bring along two game-changing themes that you are currently investing in mid-caps and small-caps. What have you brought for us today?
Yeah, look, that's a really tricky question because we're not thematic investors per se. Everything has to stand on its own 2 feet as a bottom-up stock opportunity. But look, an area where we're very interested is the intersection between healthcare and technology. Governments around the world are struggling with healthcare costs, which tend to, you know, rise above the cost of inflation or the rate of inflation each year. And we see great potential in technology to help manage those costs. Now, the challenge, of course, comes with finding healthcare technology companies at an appropriate price, because it's certainly a part of the market that, you know, people are excited about. And, you know, so we spend a lot of time perhaps looking for new and emerging companies in that space that maybe haven't been recognised yet.
Over to you, Nathan. What are two themes that you're currently investing in within small and mid caps?
Look, much like Mike, we're not necessarily thematic investors at Perpetual. We are bottom-up investors, and each stock has to make it in the portfolio on its merits. But again, something that we're mindful of is the energy transition and the decarbonisation, and somewhat counterintuitively, that is very heavily reliant on base metals. And we think this is an enduring theme. You know, the challenge that's upon the world in terms of decarbonizing is enormous, and we think this is something that's going to run for quite a while. So we think base metals are a really interesting way to play that, and so we've got a couple of copper stocks in the portfolio. Second theme I'd touch on, perhaps not as big, but something that has been of real interest to us and really accelerated over the last 18 months is the shifting consumer spending to online from physical stores. Now, part of that was necessitated by COVID and being at home. But we think the winners coming out of it are perhaps not the pure plays, which again might surprise. We actually think it's created a real opportunity for good retailers using their existing distribution networks, their existing footprint, and those that have been investing in developing a really good online capability. We think that is a trend that will leave them really well placed to win market share and keep that market share over the next 5 to 10 years.
Nathan, how sustainable are those themes? It often feels like when you hear about a winning small cap, it's often too late. How do investors know they're not getting in at the top?
Well, look, I think the theme around electrification and the energy transition is quite a long-dated theme. The size of the challenge is quite big for the world. It's something that we're going to need to be working on for quite some time. Likewise, the supply cycle in commodities and in particular base metals is quite long. There are long lead times, and there hasn't been any supply growth really of note for quite some time. So we think that theme has some significant legs. With regards to changing consumer habits and retail, I'd say what we've seen in the last 18 months is probably an acceleration. And while I think the theme perhaps won't be as long dated as the prior theme that I just touched on, I think the shifts that you'll see in the marketplace will be permanent. And so whilst that shift may have already been accelerated and largely played out, I think you'll see enduring gains for the winners.
Awesome. Mike, over to you. Valuations in healthcare and tech are pretty lofty. How do investors know they're not getting in at the top, and are those areas sustainable?
Look, I think you ask a really good question around valuations. In terms of earnings growth, look, we think the trends are sustainable. And just to give an example, healthcare, you've got these three drivers of an aging population. As economies grow in GDP terms, consumers tend to spend more on healthcare goods and services. And finally, just technology. Give you a really good example of that, this whole new area of immunotherapy as a cancer treatment. Now it's having some transformative outcomes for cancer patients, and that's the most important thing. But it's also led to, you know, a huge new industry after many years where, you know, cancer treatments had really been limited to chemotherapy for a lot of indications. And, you know, I don't really need to talk about, the transformation happening in the information technology industry. It's self-evident. So, we think there's very long runway in both those areas. Yeah, it is tough to find new ideas. There's no guarantee that, let's say, the ASX 200 healthcare and tech sectors will do what they've done in the next 10 years as they have in the last. Maybe we'll see a change in leadership in markets. But what you can do is sort of try to identify companies with a special edge or access to a particular market or particular intellectual property, and where we can find those bottom-up opportunities. And we still can. In companies that make sense to us, you know, we're happy to own them.
Can you share two companies that have an edge within technology and healthcare for us today?
Yeah, look, I'll give you one that sort of you might not have heard of and one that you certainly will have heard of and maybe don't think of as a healthcare technology company. But the first one is really at the intersection of healthcare and technology. It's outside the ASX 300, so it's, you know, typically classified as a microcap. Max7 Technologies. Now, you may have heard of a company called ProMedicus. It operates in a similar sort of area. So Max7 really grew out of a company that specialised in archiving the images that come out of radiology practices in hospitals. And increasingly, it's moved into actually the software around the viewing of those images, which is where ProMedicus operates. We think they've got a really sort of low footprint piece of software, or it's enterprise software, and it's taking market share. They've won some very big contracts. They're generating a nice rate of growth, and you don't pay the sort of multiples that you pay for a ProMedica. So that's an example of a company where we think we're not paying over the top, and it's a smaller company, so it's got quite a long runway of growth ahead of it. A much more established company, NIB Healthcare. You kind of think, oh, well, that's just a boring old health fund. But, you know, it's actually a very innovative company. You know, it's been diversifying out of pure health insurance. And you know, some of the things they've been doing, like they have a joint venture, it's called Honeysuckle Health. It's really a data science play, and it's really all about developing new programs to help people manage their health better, investing in prevention. And ultimately prevention, it helps the end customer, and it also helps the health insurer, and it helps the system. Which has some affordability problems.
Over to you, Nathan. Is there a copper and a retailer that has caught your attention at the moment that you think could become a small cap champion?
Look, probably the two companies I point to are probably at the upper end and maybe closer to mid caps, but certainly in the copper space, I mean, Oz Minerals, I think it's matured as a company, still has a long runway of growth ahead of it. So the Carrapateena project has been built to be expandable and scalable. And there's also some further upside from the West Musgrave project as well that we think the stock will deliver. In retail, I'd point to Premier Investments. So it's a company that's done tremendously well rolling out Smiggle and Peter Alexander, more recently having a lot of success online. I think there's a lot of scope for continued growth there, both taking those brands into additional markets and continuing to grow their online presence. So even though that's grown nicely, we still think there's a long runway ahead of that stock.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Buy, Hold, Sell. If you did, why not give it a like? And remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're adding new content every week.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.